We'd like to study the Rav's Yahrzeit Shir on Gimel Shvat on the subject of Kilayim B'Tzitzis. The Rav begins this Yahrzeit Shir, as he usually does, with an entire entourage of questions. The first question of which is about the bracha that we recite on the Talis Katan. And he quotes a Machlokas Rishonim, which is brought down in the Beis Yosef, in Archaim Simon Ches, regarding the bracha to be recited on a Talis Katan. According to the Beis Yosef, Le'inyan Talis Katan, Kasuv Bekolbo, Shein Mevarchim Olav Lehisatef Betzitzis, Ela Al Mitzvas Tzitzis. In other words, the normal Nusach HaBroch of Lehisatef is inappropriate for the Talis Katan. According to the Kolbo, we have to substitute the bracha al mitzvah tzitzis. And the Nimuki Yosef is quoted also by the Beis Yosef as saying that that indeed is the minhag, to recite the bracha al mitzvah tzitzis. However, the question is, according to the Beis Yosef, how to understand the Lashon Al. The Gemara Psachim on Daf Zayin establishes that the word Al in the Nusach of Birchas HaMitzvah refers to L'Sha'avar, as if to say he's already fulfilled the mitzvah. Let's say in the case of Lulav, it's Mida Agbe Nafik Be. It would make sense to recite Al since you've already taken the Dal Minim into your hands. However, we have a principle that, with very rare exceptions, Kol HaMitzvos Mevarech Aleihem Over La'Asiyasan, the Birchas HaMitzvah precedes the Ma'aseh Mitzvah. So, how can we recite the bracha on Talis Katan of Al Mitzvos Tzitzis if the bracha has to be Over La'Asiyasan, and yet the Al indicates L'Shavar? So there's a stira, there's a L'Chora contradiction, a conflict between two positions. On the one hand, the principle is that we recite the bracha before the Asiyah, so you haven't yet put on the Talis Katan, and therefore you have over L'Asiyah. On the other hand, you're using the Nusach Al. Once you employ Al, it means L'Shavar Mashma, that you've already implemented the Ma'aseh Mitzvah, but that you can't do because you have to maintain and fulfill the principle of over L'Asiyah. The Rav goes on to quote the Darche Moshe, that's the Ramah on the Beis Yosef on the tour, and the Darche Moshe likewise reflects the minog with regard to Talis Katan of Al Mitzvah Tzitzis, and he explains the reason for the minog. He says, Chashashu l'divrei aposkim she'ein yotzim b'Talis Katan. There's a machlokas rishonim and down to the poskim as to whether you could be yotze with a talis katan that doesn't cover your body. And since there's one body of Rishonim and poskim that maintain that there's no mitzvah of tzitzis through the talis katan, therefore we cannot recite the bracha of lis'atev or lis'labesh, because those nuschos would imply that right now, immediately, we're fulfilling the mitzvah of tzitzis kahogan the way it should be fulfilled. But rather, we thank Hashem shenasan lanu mitzvah tzitzis, in a more general sense, on the mitzvah of tzitzis. Then the Ramah writes the following, V'af she'ein mekaymen osa achshav ketikuna, even though now, according to those shitos, since he's not covering his whole body, he is not fulfilling the mitzvah the way it was given. Therefore, they recite a bracha in the nusach of Al. The Al is kind of a compromise, because it would be normally a bracha, we would expect normally a bracha to be on a mitzvah with a lamed, but that would imply that we're fulfilling the mitzvah ketikuna. The Al is injected here as, so to speak, a banner that indicates that we're not mekayim the mitzvah ketikuna. And he quotes the Rush in the name of Rabbeinu Tam that has a similar approach to the mitzvah of Mila, that the bracha is ala Mila, which is l'shavar mashma, as if to say that somehow ala Mila would be a proof for the al mitzvah tzitzis in the case of a talis katan. And the Rav says, I can't understand the Darkei Moshe. The logic of the Ramah is unacceptable. Because Mimonafshach, if you're worried about that Shita, that you're not Yotze the mitzvah of tzitzis with a talis katan, then you would not be able to make a bracha. If you make a bracha on a maisa, which is not a maisa mitzvah, has no kiyum to it, it's certainly a bracha of atola. And the Ramah then, if he's choshesh for that shita, and you're not yotze the mitzvah of tzitzis with a talis katan because it's lacking ituf and kisui kol gufo, then he should have dropped the bracha entirely. What good, what does he gain by shifting the nusach ha-bracha from lamed to al? The Rav does point out, however, there is one saving feature here in the presentation of the Ramah, because the Ramah was very meticulous when he wrote that the mitzvah, according to this shita, is not a mitzvah kehogen. It's not a mitzvah ketikuna. The implication of the language of the Ramah in Darkei Moshe is that there is a kiyum, even according to that shita, of Talis Katan, but it's not Kitikuno. It's not the way it should be. And I think the Rav is going to employ a classical, brisker approach to the difference between Lechatchila and Bidiyevit. And that is that although we commonly think that Bidiyevit, alright, it's the mitzvah, but you could have done it a little better, you could have embellished it. No. Lechatchila and Bidiyevit means that there are two dimensions to a mitzvah, one of which you can fulfill Bidiyevit. And if you go beyond that, you'll accomplish both dimensions of the mitzvah, and you'll have a mitzvah lechatchila. In the case of tzitzis, however, there seems to be only one kiyum, and that is levishas beged sheyesh bo tzitzis. And now we have to raise the question: what about a beged that's so small that it's ein bo kedei levisha? Does it allow for the kiyum on mitzvah tzitzis? Does it not? And if you're worried about the fact that it does not, then that undermines and negates the mitzvah entirely. The mitzvah is betelo muvuteles, therefore the bracha should be dropped. Furthermore, the Rav points out that the logic of the Ramah regarding the choice of the matbea bracha of al is likewise untenable at face value. He says, the bracha of al indicates that the mitzvah was already done. So if, for example, you've already achieved the mitzvah by wearing the talis katan, which is exactly our minog, as opposed to talis gadol, where we make the bracha before we put on the atifa, if that's the logic of the Ramah, and we see something similar in his analogy to the mitzvah of the bracha, of lachniso bebriso shal Avraham Avinu, that bracha, according to Rabbeinu Tam, is recited after the milah, but yet Tzarech Iyun, says the Rav, Madua anu mishanim bracha al talis kata bi bracha krucha b'talis gadol, lama te omer bracha zuli achar halavisha. If the Ramah is indeed implying that the al, the choice of the formulation of the bracha b'nusach al, is indicative of the fact that he's already done the mitzvah, then let's understand. Why is it that the talis katan is going to be donned before the bracha, and then the bracha with an al is going to indicate that the kima mitzvah was already achieved. And the Rav makes reference to the Mechaber in Simon Ches, in this case Sif Vav, where the Mechaber paskins that we recite the bracha l'sateif also on the talis katan. The Ramah seems to have accepted that shita, that we mevarech al mitzvahs, not lis'atev, and the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch is reflecting what he himself writes in the Darkei Moshe. But we have to understand why in the case of a talis katan was the mitzvah changed in such a fundamental way that the ma'isa mitzvah should be achieved and implemented before the bracha, as opposed to the over lasiyosan rule, resulting in the change in the nusach ha-bracha from an lamed to an al to reflect the fact that you've already put on the tzitzis. Why is that so? The Mechaber, on the other hand, makes sense. He's consistent. The bracha of lis'atef is related to both the talis gadol and the talis katan, and therefore the nusach of lis'atef is consistently valid even for the Talis Kata. But the Ramah needs to be explained. So just to summarize the first question of the Rav, why is it that the Nusach HaBrach of Lis'atev, according to the first sheet, that's the Kolbo quoted by the Beis Yosef, is not applicable, is not appropriate for a Talis Katan, but rather the Bracha should be Al Mitzvah Tzitzis, that's indeed our Minhag. What is the meaning and the significance of the Nusach HaBrach of Al Mitzvah Tzitzis with regard to the Talis Katan? And furthermore, the Daki Moshe is difficult because he wants to suggest that the Nusach HaBrach shifts to Al Mitzvah Tzitzis because of the Chashash for that opinion in the poskim that you're not yotze with the talis katan, then why should we have the brach at all? What benefit do you have by shifting the nusach habracha from lamed to al, and indeed by implementing the ma'isa mitzvah of levisha in the case of talis katan before the bracha is recited? Question number two. The Rav quotes a Tosus and Chulin Kuf Yud Amid Beis with regard to Talis Sheula. The halacha is that one who owns a beged is chayev in tzitzis. If I borrow your beged, I'm not chayev in the mitzvah tzitzis. Yet Tosa says that as far as brach is concerned, we should begin to think about Rabbeinu Tam's famous shita of Nashim Mivarchos HaMitzvah Seishas Man Groma. According to Rabbeinu Tam, a woman, despite the fact that she's not obligated in the midst of Sukkah, will recite a bracha on Sukkah as an Eino Mitzuva Viosa. However, with regard to Tal Sheula, Tosa says even Rabbeinu Tam would agree that there is no bracha on the Tal Sheula. And Tosa now differentiates between a sukkah for a woman as opposed to a talis which is sheula. He says the hasam adam acher ye chayav favol hocha kol adam potur kishaino shalom. So Tosfos makes a brilliant and a very fundamental distinction between the two cases. In the case of sukkah, others are obligated in the midst of sukkah. A woman is exempt. She can jump in to the chiyuv, so to speak, at least as far as the brach is concerned, that shita's Rabbeinu Tam. But in the case of Tal Sheula, no one is obligated in the midst of tzitzis. Kol adam patur kishena shalo. The only exception to the rule is the one single individual in the face of the earth who owns the beged. So clearly, Tosus would now absolutely forbid one to make a bracha on Tal Sheula. And now we get to the last few words, the closing chasima of this Tosa. He says, V'afal piche, nevertheless, despite the svara, to distinguish between the case of mitzvah seishas man groma and women making a bracha, in the case of Tal Sheula, ha-mevarech lo hifsid, if he went ahead and he made a bracha on a Tal Sheula, nishkefela, he didn't lose much. And that doesn't make any sense, says the Rav. The case of Tal Sheula certainly should be a bracha levatola because the talis is ptura, there's no mitzvah whatsoever, and the bracha is lashav. And Tosfos themselves admit that this is not comparable, analogous to the case of Nashim, because in the case of Nashim it's a ptura gavra, but in the case of talis, it's not a ptura gavra, but rather the Heftz itself is not a beged le'inyin chiyuv tzitzis. Let's read the language of the Rav. He says, B'noshim ha'gavra potur mi'mitzah tzitzis. Aval ha'talis chayeves. In other words, if you look at the talis, and you don't look at the person, in this case the woman who's wearing the talis, then certainly there's a talis here as far as tzitzis that generates the mitzvah of tzitzis. And therefore Rabbeinu Tam says that she can make a bracha on a talis, ha'mechuyeves b'tzitzis, she'll get reward for this mitzvah as an eina mitzvah v'yosa, but in the case of Tal Sheula, the talis itself is completely hufka'a, it's completely excluded from the mitzvah of tzitzis. And therefore, how could anyone, except for the Bailim, of course, recite a bracha? Would Tosus say, and here the Rav uses a very interesting melitza, he says, would someone say that if he made a bracha on an Esrog Shaul, I mean, just like in Talis, in Tzitzis, there's a requirement of ownership, Lachem, so too in Dalad Minim, there's a Lekachtem Lachem. If somebody went ahead and made a bracha on an Esrog Shaul, because Shaul is not considered Bailus, on the first day of the Chag, would we say, Hamavarech Lo Hifsid? For surely not. He violated the Isur of Bracha Levatola. Why not apply the same logic to a Talashula? Where does Tosfos have this opening for the possibility of validating a bracha on a Talashula? Now the Rav quotes a sugya in Menachos on Daf Mem Amud Beis. This is the case that's called a Talis Petura. And Rav Masna, in the name of Shmuel, says that Tcheles Ein Ba Mishum Kilayim. This is based on a sugya in Yevamos Daf Dalet that derives from the smichus between Lo Sil Bashatnas and Gedilim Tasalcha, that Esei Docha Losa said, meaning Tcheles is not considered Kilayim. So if you have a Beged Shel Pishton and you tie down two Chutim of Tzemer that are dyed with Tcheles, there is no Kilayim. And then Shmuel adds the next three words. Afilu betalis ptura. This halacha that there's no iser kilayim applies even in the case of a talis that's exempt. So Gemara asks, my talis ptura in this whole sugya here. And finally the Gemara concludes that it's a case of hitil limutelis. In other words, he already put on tzitzis. Now he adds another set of tzitzis to the first set of chutei tzitzis. And this din of Hitil Limuteles is the subject of a controversy between Rashi and the Rambam. Rashi seems to indicate that he's got eight pairs of tzitzis on this beged, and they all coexist. They're all there at the same time. And even so, there's no Iser Kilayim. And why does Rashi go that way? Because if we're going to say that he already took off the extra pairs of tzitzis, he had eight, and now he's down to four again, then for sure it's a davar pashut. I wouldn't need Shmuel to be mechadish mi chidushim that there's no iser kilayim. I mean, the fact that it once was a talis bas shmona tzitzios is irrelevant to the situation is now. Even if once there were a problem of Kalayim, but he removed the Kalayim, and this should be, this Talis now, after he removes the other four, the extra four, he's now got a regular classical Talis, which is obligated in the midst of Tzitzis. We put Tcheles into a Beged of Pishnan. Why is that called a Talis Ptura? It's a Talis Hamechuyeves, and for sure, there would be no Iser Kalayim. The fact, again, to repeat, that he had put Tzitzis on earlier, and at that point he exempted the beged, that's lo maila v'lo mora. It has no implication at the moment now when he wears when he has the levishi, dons the beged, and he's chayv in tzitzis, and there's no iser kalayim. Therefore, Rashi is forced to explain the sugya as addressing the case of a talis that has eight tzitzis on it right now at the moment of levisha. This is called the Talis Ptura because vis-a-vis the additional four tzitzios that were added, it's a Talis Ptura. There's no chiv, there's no mitzvah in those four tzitzios that he added to the four that he already has. And therefore, the Brice is Mechadish, a real chiddush, that even though he could be yotze his mitzvah with one set of Dalet tzitzios, he doesn't need a second set of Dalet tzitzios, nevertheless, on each single one of the tzitzis, he has the right to say that he's potur, despite the fact that he certainly is potur, nevertheless, there's no Iser Kalayim. The Shita Mekubetzes here in Menachos seems to say it more explicitly. He says, Lech lameh v'deparach l'shmul meha, del lo shamin amidi, meha deliel da'av abina hitel mutels k'shera, k'she posak arishon. Aval kolz man shlo posak efshar tzitzis shlo b'makom mitzvah havi. Here the Shita Mekubetzes is very clear that as long as he didn't take away four of the eight tzitzios, then he's got tzitzis shlo b'makom mitzvah. And the chiddush here is that even though that's called a talis p'tura vis-a-vis those four tzitzios, nevertheless, despite the fact that it's tzitzis shalom a mitzvah, he's not chayiv for kalayim. That's the chiddush of Shmuel. However, the Rav reads the Rambam very meticulously and draws the conclusion that the Rambam disagrees with Rashi. The Rambam is at the very beginning of Hilchas Tzitzis Perek Aleph, in this case Halacha Tesvav. He til Tzitzis al Tzitzis. Says the Rambam, it depends what his kavanin. Im niskavi levatel asarishonos, if he intends, his intention when he adds the four tzitzis to the first four is to completely be mevatel, he doesn't want to consider the four tzitzios. The four tzitzis harishonos is then matir harishona. All he has to do is remove the first four, ochotcha, or he cuts them off, ukshera. In other words, there's no problem of what we call taseh velo menasui, meaning the four, the second pair of four tzitzios lechora have to be removed and put on again, because when they were put on, it was a situation of a talis p'tura. So the Rambam is mechadish that there's halach of bittul, that if his kavana when he added the second set of four tzitzios was to be mevatel the four rishonos, then indeed it's as if the four rishonos are completely gone, and the second set of four replace the first, and therefore there's no problem of tasim and osu when he attaches the second four to the beged. It's as if he attached the first set of four to the beged, because the first set of four doesn't exist al pidin. But says the Rama, im niskavin lahosif. Now he's got a problem. He added the second set because he wants to embellish his mitzvah. He wants to add to his mitzvah. Then afal pi shechotach achas mishten. Even if he removes the tzitzis from the first round, arezu psula. And here the Rama invokes the principle of tase velo menasa arik shahosif. At the moment that he added the second pasal asakol, he's got too many tzitzis, everything is gone, everything's invalid, and now he's trying to validate the tzitzis by cutting off four tzitzis. Kshehitir, he removes, ochatach, or he cuts off hatosafos, hatosefes, nimtza shar nasa min ha'osui, shasioso harishona, Sula Hoysa. At the time that he placed the additional four, and he had kavanah to add, he passled everything. He disqualified the entire set of tzitzis, so now he's got to take off the tzitzis and start from scratch and put them on again, so there will be an asiya kshera. The Rabbah Shita is that as long as he doesn't remove the first set, he's not yotze with the second set. Matir es harishonos ochotcha ukshera. This is in the Reisha, in the case where he's mevatel. But the Rambam says that even if he was mevatel the rishonos, the Rav is medayik in the Lashon Rambam, he's not yotze with the shnios, with the second set, until matir es harishono. Either he unravels, unwinds the rishonos, or chotcha, he cuts them off. Says the Rav, muchach, what do we see from the language of the Rambam? Dekodem asara chatichi psula, mkein hashela ola, eich yifarnes es asugya dekalayim. Im memra Shmuel koi akodem asara. If Shmuel is addressing the case that he hasn't yet removed the first set of four, and that's called the talis p'tura, so why doesn't he violate the isur kalayim? Because according to the Rambam, there's no mitzvah of tzitzis at all, as long as he's got two sets of tzitzis on the beged, and he wasn't mevatel the first. And even if he was mevatel the first, the Rambam requires that he remove one set of tzitzis. It's not enough to intellectually in his mind to be mevatel the first set of tzitzis. He has to physically remove them. And if you take a look in Perek Gimel Hilchot Tzitzis, Halacha Zayin, in the case of Shalom B'Makom Mitzvah, the Rambam is explicit that there's no heter kalayim. He writes, in contrast to Rabbeinu Tam, who has the concept of a hutcha, we'll see that in just a moment. The Rambam has only dechuya, So once again, how could it be that if he still has the two sets of tzitzis on the beged, that we could apply the principle of esse dochalosase to negate the lav of kelayim? That's impossible. He doesn't have tzitzis kshera. Says the Rav, v'yim nefarish. On the other hand, we could say that Shmuel is talking about a case after he cut the first ones off. No, if that be the case, then the talis is not a talis p'tura at all. What does Shmuel mean when he says afilu b'talis p'tura? This is a talis hachayevis b'tzitzis, and indeed he'll be yotze with the second set, and there's no psul of tas ben asui. So what difference is it between this talis and any other talis? Certainly the avera, the lav of kilayim, is completely uprooted. So what's the chiddush here? Why do you call this a talis she'ula? So just to summarize this presentation of the Rav vis-a-vis the statement of Shmuel on Menacha in Menachas Memavideis with regard to Hafkas Iser Kelayim Afilu B'talis Ptura, it would seem from Rashi that we're talking about a case of a talis that has eight pairs of tzitzis, and the Brisa is presenting a radical new halacha that even though he has the ability to be yotze with one set of tzitzis, he doesn't need both of them, nevertheless there's no Iser Kelayim. And the Shita Mekubetzes is outspoken about that. The Rav here implies a certain opening, a certain logical approach, namely that b'chol achas mi achas yeshlom shehi poteres satalis. You know, we don't know in each corner, you have two tzitzis in each corner, which of the two chutim, which of the two sets of tzitzis is actually the one that patters up this beged. In any event, according to the Rambam Shita, the sugya of Shmuel of Talis Peturi would seem to the scenario of the sugya of Shmuel would seem to be when he added the second pair to, with Das, with the Kavanah to be Mevatel the first pair. But the question is, has he removed the first pair? If he removed the first pair, I don't know why that's called the Talis Shmuel. If he hasn't removed it, then the Rambam Shita is that he cannot be Yotze with this set of tzitzis, with this Talis. Now we want to study Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam on Daf Mem Amid Beis in Tosis Dibra Maskel Tcheles, and we've spoken about this Rabbeinu Tam in the past, is Mechadesh the Shita of Kelayim B'Tzitzis Hutru. Therefore, Rabbeinu Tam says that even Belaila, even though Laila loves Man Tzitzis, and you're not Yotzei the Mitzvah of Tzitzis at night, that's why women are exempt from tzitzis man groma. Nevertheless, that same beged, which has kelayim in it as a result of the tzitzis, is mutter, and there's no lav of kelayim, despite the fact that you're bereft, completely bereft of the mitzvah of tzitzis. And when the Gemara establishes, this is early in the Sugya Daf Mem Amud Aleph, that we institute a gzera because of Tzus Laila, if we allow him to wear this beged shel pishtan with tcheles on it, meaning with chute tcheles of tzemer, which is a mixture of kelayim, what will happen is he may come to wear it at night. Says Rabbeinu Tam, that's a different case. That gzera is otu a ksus laila, like pajamas, something that you only wear at night. But in the case of ksus yom, even if you wear it at night, there's no problem of kelayim, because we'll apply the halach of esei dochalosas somehow, magically, even though there's no kiyum hagavah, there's no mitzvah at that moment when he wears this talis at night. That's point number one of Rabbeinu Tam. And we'll see a similar thing, a similar halach applies to Big Day Kahuna, according to those shitos, that you could wear, the Kohen could wear the Big Day Kahuna even shalo b'shas avoda, because Hutra Kalayim Eitzel Big Day Kahuna, even though now there's no mitzvah of Avoda, which could be Doche the Kalayim, here too, at night, there's no mitzvah of Tzitz to be Doche Kalayim. Nevertheless, Rabbeinu Tam insists that he's allowed to wear it at night, because the Beged itself lends itself to the mitzvah of Tzitz Payon. And Rabbeinu Tam, point number two, extends this same logic to the case of Nashim, excuse me, the case of Tal Shaula first and foremost, that even though Tal Shaula is Pturim in a census, nevertheless, there's no Iser Kelayim. So you're Pater from the midst of Tzitz in the case of Tal Shaula, but there is no Lav of Kelayim. So how does Esei Dochalosa work over here? And also in the case of women wearing tzitzis, they can wear it b'kalayim according to Rabbeinu Tam. Even though there's no kiyum of the bits of tzitzis. So it seems that it's undeniable, and this is Mefursam Ma'od. Everyone knows that Rabbeinu Tam sheet and kalayim b'tzitzis, that kalayim b'tzitzis hutru v'lo hutru, and therefore even shalom b'ok mitzvah it's mutter, there's no isa kalayim. In truth, Rabbeinu Tam is not the first one who's responsible for such an approach. Rashi on Daf Mem Aleph Omen Aleph, Dibra Maschel Ella, if you read his language carefully, he says, the Chishari Rachmanik Kalayim B'tzitzis Legamrei Ishtaru, Legamrei Ishtaru. But the problem is, the obvious problem, namely the Sugya in Yevamos, Daf Dalet Omen Beis, and here the Rav, although he came up with this question on his own, many Mefarshim asked this question. In fact, the Ravid in what's called Miyuchas L'Ravid in Tamid raises this question on Rabbeinu Tam. The Ramban in Yevamos raises this question, this objection against Rabbeinu Tam. How could the Gemara in Yevamos establish the universal principle and call Tarkula Vesei Dochalosa based on this parish of Kelayim B'tzitzis, when according to Rabbeinu Tam, Kelayim B'tzitzis is Hutra? There was never an Isa Kelayim that's generated by a mixture of tzitzis on a beged. So how can you say that what underlies this halacha of Kelayim B'tzitzis is Esei Dochalosa? How can you derive Esei Dochalosa? It's an entirely different halacha. It's Hutra. There was no Isa Kelayim in the case of tzitzis. The whole sugya at face value would seem to undermine Rabbeinu Tam. However, the Rav is not nispoiled from this question, because we find in Yevamos Daf Hei Amud Beis that from karbonos that are docha Shabbos, we can derive the principle of esei docha lotase. The Gemara wants to suggest that even a lotase sheish bo kares like Shabbos could be trumped by the mitzvah of Pesach, the mitzvah of Tamid. Even though the case of malacha of Shabbos with regard to karbonos is certainly hutra, according to everyone, it's not dechuya, and the Rav sends us to a sugya in Yuma Memvav Amud Beis to demonstrate that the halach of kodshim on Yontif, excuse me, on Shabbos is hutra. Says the Rav, and he doesn't seem to sweat this out, that the koach of essay being greater, surpassing that of a lotase, is all that we need to derive for esei dochalosis. In other words, there's one concept that lies at the heart of this derivation from kilayim b'tzitzis, or for that matter from Pesach and Tomit Shadokhavus HaShavs, namely, that in a choice situation between an esei and a lotase, the esei wins out. So even if there's no hutra, for example, in the classical case of Esei Dochalos, say Lomer Zogin, in the case of Bias, Isha Sura for the sake of Yibum, or Ktsitsas Baheres, in the case of Mila, shall we say that it's Hutra? Excuse me, shall we apply the principle of Dechuya? Nevertheless, even that limited, circumscribed Dechuya can be derived from Kelayim B'tzitzis, because what we see in Kelayim B'tzitzis is the fundamental principle that the Esei is superior to the Losase. The Rav is not Marich over here on this point. He says, Adayin Tzarchin, but rather he has a different question from a different sugi. Again, let's just go over this. According to the Rav, the fact that, according to Rabbeinu Tam's interpretation of Kalayim B'tzitzis, we apply Hutra, and yet, paradoxically, Kalayim B'tzitzis is the source for the Allah, the principle of Vaisei Dochlosa Kol Tarkula. That is not a problem in the Rav's mind, because Hutra goes beyond Esei Dochalos Aseh. And it's almost like a Kal V'Chomer. If, in the case of Kilayim, again, the Rav doesn't address the issue why in Kilayim it's Hutra, but if in the case of Kilayim it's Hutra, it means that the essay is so important that the Torah completely removed and alleviated the Lav, then how much more so is essay Dochalos Aseh in that circumscribed world of essay Dochalos, where we can't go as far as Hutra. The Rav, rather, is bothered by a slightly different question, and that is, if we turn the Daf back to Mem Amud Aleph, and we look at the sugya of Kola Elon, in which the Gemara says that we don't put tzitzis on a beged shel pishtan, according to the minhag of Yerushalayim. And the reason for that is because we're afraid that the chutei tzemer are colored not with the dye that we call tcheles, but rather with the dye that we call Kola Elon, which is a facsimile and is not tcheles. So the Gemara right away says, so what's your problem? Lo yehei ela lavan. Let's assume that in the absence of the color, the dye tcheles, namely in the case of Kola Elon, we forfeit completely the mitzvah of tcheles. Who cares, says the Gemara? Let these chutim drop down to the level of lavan. I mean, the fact that you took, you know, chute lavan and you dye them whatever color in the face of the rainbow, in the color of the rainbow, that doesn't bother me. It still remains chute lavan for the mitzvah of lavan. And even with regard to the mitzvah of lavan, we can apply the principle of esse docha losase. So what's your problem with kola ilan? And the Gemara answers, kevan di efshar b'minon lo. There's a fundamental difference between tcheles and lavan. Tcheles has to be, it must be, it could only be from tzemer. But lavan doesn't have to be from tzemer. It could be min kanaf. It could be, in the case of a beged shel pishtan, you can have chutei lavan of pishtan. I mean, here, Tosas is arguing with the Shitas Hagaonim. But in any event, Tosas makes absolute sense in interpreting the Gemara, Kipshuta, that the chutim of pishtan could serve as chutei lavan. So why did you go out of your way to add a headache here by attaching two chutim of tzemer to the beged if they're not tcheles, because they're lacking the dye of tcheles, all they have is kola ilan, and you want to tie to that they're lavan, and therefore, since they're made of tzemer, they should be doche the lav of kalayim on this beged shel pishtan because of the principle of esse docha losa. The Gemara says that's impossible. Why? Kidre shlokish, the omar shlokish, kol makom shatamotze esse velosase. Whenever there's a conflict between an esse and a losase. So there are two rules of thumb, says Reish Lakish. The first rule is, imate yochel kai mishneem mutav. If you could obtain the essay without violating the lav, that's the way you go. The imlav, but if you can't, it means there's no way out. It's an absolute, irreconcilable conflict and contradiction. Then yovo essay v'yitches halosas. But here, in the case of a beged shel pishtan, if you're not fulfilling the mitzvah of treles, which requires tzemer, then you can apply the mitzvah of, you can fulfill the mitzvah of lavan with chutei pishtan on a beged shel pishtan and completely circumvent the violation of kilayim, and therefore this is awesome. And a simple pshat in the Gemara, it's awesome in a raisa. Forget about tosus. So if it's awesome in the raisa, this seems to undermine the sheet of Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says that when you attach tzitzis to a beged, and as a result of that attachment, that chibur, you create kilayim. The Torah did not say kilayim. That's called hutra. So how do you understand Reish Lakish? Reish Lakish's principle, im ate yochel kai mishneim mutavim lav, etc., that only if, when, there's an irreconcilable possibility, or I should say, it's an impossibility, to have both, to obtain both the essay and the losaseh, then and only then do you apply the principle of essay dol losaseh. Obviously, there's no question that the logic of Reish Lakish, the underlying principle, is dechuya and not hutra. And therefore, we can't figure out, Rabbeinu Tam, that's the Rav's question. And again, as I indicated earlier, these are old and famous questions that are raised against Rabbeinu Tam. How to reconcile the sheet of Hutra of Rabbeinu Tam with Reish Lakish, who is absolutely explicit about the fact that Esei Dochlos and Tzitzis is Dechuya and not Hutra. Unless, again, Reish Lakish's requirement is only Mirabanan. And Tosus Dibur Askel Kevon Diefshar B'minon quotes a Sugiliel on Daf Lamentes. The Gemara says, Chutei Tzemer Potrin Bishel Pishton. And Shel Pishton Potrin Bishel Tzemer. And Tosus asks the following question, Afal Pisha Efshar B'minon. Let's understand. If he puts chute pishton on a beged shel tzemer, which is the second of the two cases that the Gemara relates to on the sugya on daf lamed tes, once again, the case of chute pishton in a beged shel tzemer, I mean, who asked him, who invited him to put pishton on a beged shel tzemer? He could have just easily have fulfilled his mitzvah of lavan with chute tzemer mimin kanaf. Fektos afal pishef shabiminon. Where's the essay dochlosa over there in chute pishton bebegin shel tzemer? So Tosis offers a number of answers. In the first answer, he says that the chshash in our sugya of not placing tzemer in sadin for the chute lavan is only midivreim, and he writes inami midiraisa sharia for abonan hu de gazur came on the efshal kaim shneim of midiraisa sharia decline mamish hutar etzel tzitzis v'lav mishum dechi. You get the impression that Tosus in his first approach is really waving the banner of Rabbeinu Tam, and he's defending Rabbeinu Tam by claiming that Reish Lakish's requirement of the Efshel L'Kayim Shneim is only Midrabanan, and therefore, on a Deraisa level, you can attach Chute Pishton in a Beged Shel Tzemer because HaTorah Hitira Kilayim Legamre, which is Hutra, but that's Tosa's second teretz. I called the first teretz. But let's go back to the first teretz of Tosa. And here there's a new chiddush. And Tosa says the following. If he would add only lavan without cheles, then the tzemer on the lavan would not qualify as tzitzis because of the Iser Kalayim and the din of Reish Lakish. Now, Tosin's first answer understands that the din of Reish Lakish is Doraisa, but and here's where we get Hutravel, im matil tcheles v'lavan, in a case where he has both tcheles and lavan, which is the Gemara Le'el on Daf Lamites, then he can use chutei tzemer even for lavan. Why? Because he's got two chutei tzemer of tcheles. He adds that two chutim of lavan, he can use tzemer. Why? Because he's got tcheles. When does the principle of Reish Lakish kick in? That's going to be the case of Kala Elon, where he doesn't have the mitzvah of tcheles, and therefore, there's no power of Hutra. We can only apply the principle of Dechuya. And since there's no need for Lavan to be anything but Min Kanaf, meaning Min Abeged, and therefore he could use Chute Pishton, therefore there's no Heter to use Chute Tzemek. So again, according to the first answer of Tosfos, everything depends upon the situation. There are two scenarios of chute tzemer lavan on a beged shel pishton. One scenario is where he has tcheles, meaning he has two other chutim of tzemer that are dyed with tcheles, bona fide genuine tcheles. The other situation is where the other two chutim are not real tcheles. And he says the following. When does the halach of hutcha apply? That's only when he has tcheles. So nachama, he has a beged, shell, tzemer. And he's got two chutim of tzemer that are tcheles, real, genuine tcheles. Now, he can add for his chute lavan, chutim shel tzemer, even though it's a beged shel pishton. Did I say that right? Let me go over it one more time, make sure we got it right. Again, he's got a beged shel pishton. And there are two scenarios. Scenario A is that the two chute tzemer that he wants to attach to the beged as tcheles are indeed dyed with tcheles. Therefore, the other two chutim, which are chute lavan, even though he could have just as well used chute pishtan without adding a headache of kelayim, but nevertheless he's got tcheles, and that kicks off the halacha of hutra. If, on the other hand, the two chute tzemer that he wanted to add to this beged, to attach to the beged shell pishtan, were savua Tzvuim bekala ilon, and therefore he doesn't have the mitzvah of tcheles. Now, the best that we can do is apply the principle of esse dochalosas, meaning dechuya, and then we're going to ask ourselves the question, well, what forces him, if he's only fulfilling the mitzvah of lavan, to have those chutei lavan made of tzemer? Here's the lashon of Tosfos Liel, b'masikna dechutei pishtan, potrin b'shel tzemer. When do we allow in the Gemara Lamed Tes above to attach for lavan chute pishtan to a beged shel tzemer? Okay, this is not the case that we were discussing before, but hold on for a minute. He says hainu bahadei tcheles. So in a case of a beged shel tzemer, he's got two chutim of tcheles. The other two chutim can be made of pishtan. Why? The migu de tcheles poter, lavan shel pishtan nami poter. Okay, that's the more complicated case. The afal gav the efshar bimino, he just as well could have added two chutim of tzemer. Who forced him to add two chutim of pishtan? Nevertheless, since he's doing it bahari tcheles, because he's got two chutim of tzemer, tzavua, betcheles, and mind you, those are not kelayim, he can engender kelayim based on this halach of migu, because he's got a tcheles that's poter. Now, that was the more complicated case. Again, the beged was tzemer, and he's adding chutei lavan of pishtan to a beged shel tzemer, and the tcheles itself is not kelayim. So that's an odd halach, and we'll get back to that in just a minute. But what's the pshita leitfei case that Tos admits is much simpler? That's the case of chutei tzemer, potrim, bishel, pishtan. Why is that a simpler case? If he wants to set up his lavan in this beged shel pishtan with chutei tzemer, and he didn't have to do so, but since he had two chutim of tzemer that he needed because of the mitzvah of tcheles, so he's got the mitzvah of tcheles, zaktaisis b'el mishum de b'lav haki kilayim, he's already established kilayim with the chutei tzemer, so who cares if he adds another two chutim of tzemer for the purpose of lavan? That's pshita leitfei. But that really works with halacha of dechuya, meaning, even though you'll say b'lav haki ika kelayim, let's say you'll come up with a svara to say that we don't want to be marba b'shiurim. We'll see this in Rebbe Chana. I don't know if we'll see in the Rav. Nevertheless, we have halacha of hutra that's generated by the chutei tcheles. The chutei tcheles themselves inherently create kelayim, and the Torah is matir that. So we don't care if the other two chutim on this beged are likewise tzemer, made of tzemer, which creates kelayim, because we have the migu, we have already the power in this tzitzis of tcheles. That's okay. But let's flip back to the case of a beged shel tzemer. There, the tcheles doesn't create kelayim. What creates kelayim is the fact that the chutei lavan were made of tzemer, and they could have made been made of Pishtan. Here, it's very difficult to say that we're going to allow him to create Kilayim when he doesn't have to do so. And that seems to undermine the principle of Reish Lakish, which according to this day in Tosfos is apparently Doraisa. And we're going to do so because the two chutim of Tzemer have and generate a kiyum of Tcheles. And once you have a kiyum of Tcheles, we trigger off the halacha of Hutra. So the Rav points out that, as in just summarizing the Tosfos first and foremost, once we have Tcheles, Reish Lakish doesn't apply, and therefore we can use Chute Pishtan as Lavan in a Talis Shel Tzemer. And that's a Gvaldige Chiddush, because he could have easily have taken Chute Tzemer in this Talis Shel Tzemer, and the Tcheles does not engender Kilayim. O Chute Tzemer Lissadin, that's the more pshita case, as Tosa says, because the lavhochi ika kilayim, in other words, when he decides to use semer on pishtan, on a begishal pishtan as lavon, he really is not adding any kilayim, because he's already established kilayim with the two chutei semer of tcheles. So that's what the Rav says, that in this latter case of chutei semer bepishtin, the Pishtan, we understand very well why the din of Reish Lakish shouldn't even enter into the arena here, because he's already got Kilayim because of the Tcheles. So the additional two Chute Lavan of Tzemer is Lomayel of Lomorit. I mean, the Rav is not working with Marbe Beshurim or any such similar concept. However, says the Rav, in the case of Chute Pishtan in a Talis Shel Tzemer, so if the beged is made of tzemer, tcheles doesn't engender kilayim. What's engendering kilayim here is his decision, which is not justified. I mean, it's just a frivolous decision, capricious decision on his part, that the chute lavan should be made of pishtan when he could have easily made them of tzemer. He would have had four chutim of tzemer without kilayim. So why doesn't the principle of Reish Lakish kick in here of efshel lekayim shneim? Since the Tcheles itself doesn't engender Kilayim, why not make the Chutei Lavan out of Tzemer? What does the concept of Tcheles here, in this particular context, what does it add? How does Tcheles elevate us to the level of Hutra, when the Tcheles itself inherently is tzemer b'tzemer, it's not kilayim. There's no cheftish al kilayim as a result of the tcheles. So why does the power of tcheles kick in here to allow us to disregard the logic of Reish Lakish and inject the principle of hutra, and therefore leave Reish Lakish to a very small corner, to be dochikim to a pina, that only when we have no tcheles, like in the case of Kala Ilan, then and only then, do we say Efshel Lekayim Shneim? We apply the principle of Dechuya. Now, at this point, the Rav is going to quote a Tosfos in Ksuvos Daf Mem Amud Aleph, and that Tosfos is going to further strengthen the Rav's position here in analyzing Tosfos, and then he's going to come back to Rabbeinu Tam, an inner contradiction in Rabbeinu Tam regarding a Ksus Laila. The Rabbeinu Tam that we saw clearly maintains that a ksus yom balayla is potter from tzitzis, a ksus laila is mufka from tzitzis, and the nafkamina is that whereas a ksus yom balayla has the heter of kilayim b'tzitzis, the ksus laila is mufka from tzitzis, it's not a beged of tzitzis, and therefore it has no principle, it has no operating principle of hutra. However, elsewhere, and the Rush quotes Rabbeinu Tam as maintaining that even Balayla, there's a mitzvah of tzitzis, as long as it's a ksus yom. So what's the status of ksus yom Balayla? And finally, the Rav is going to quote another shita of Tosfos in Ksubis with regard to Kalayim B'tzitzis. I think we'll leave these last couple of questions and Ha'oros for the next shiur, for part two of this series. What I envision is, since it's a very long piece, and this shiur is absolutely brilliant, and I've seen a lot of achronim, but they never say, and they never pick up the power of the Rav's lumdus here. It's absolutely phenomenal. I'm assuming that given the size of the shiur, we'll probably need... I don't know. I don't want to say how many times we'll have to get together. I don't even want to take a guess. Whether it's 3, 4, 5, I don't know. But in any event, just to summarize what the Rav has done, and this is typical of his Yahrzeit Shiurim, he's presented a number of difficulties, whether it's regard to Talis Katan and the bracha on Talis Katan, with regard to the sugya of Hitel Muteles or Rabbeinu Tam's Shita of Hutra.